See you all. Okay, what's the time? Okay, bang on. I'm alive. I just got to be 20 minutes now and I'd be okay. That'll never happen, I know. Okay, over the next 6 to 8 weeks, okay, and it's probably going to be a bit longer than that because there's Cafe Church in between and there's the youth service, etc. So in between now and Christmas, we're hoping really to do a series on Sundays, that is. So in our Sunday meetings, looking at the parables that Jesus used in his teaching. And I have to say that this was initiated by the ladies who and the ladies group who meet on a Tuesday in Castleview, because they decided perhaps 2 months ago, probably before the summer, in fact, that they were going to, when they came back from summer break, they were going to start looking at the parables that Jesus taught and Jesus used. So as a leadership, we thought we'd sort of jump on the back of that and try and have a bit of consistency between the Sunday meeting and, you know, maybe the Tuesday meeting. And hence, we are going through that series ourselves, okay? So following very, very closely to that Tuesday ladies group that meet in Castleview. So the first set of parables that we're going to be looking at tonight, if you haven't got your Bibles, okay, if you have got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. If you haven't got your Bibles, then there's some text in front of you there, okay? And we're going to be reading that tonight. So verse 24 to 35. Okay? Jesus told them another parable. He said this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.' He told him another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Although it was the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds can come and perch in its branches.' He told them still another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough.' Jesus spoke all these things to the crowds, or the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken many, many years previous to this by the prophet who said, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world.'" It's interesting, don't you think, how God works in our lives and wants to work in our lives? We just heard about his willingness to be our father and his desire to be our father. And I just find it so fascinating to think that God actually wants a real relationship with us. He wants to work in our lives. Just a couple of weeks ago, we heard from Bruce Collins when he came and spoke here and ministered here that the kingdom of heaven was absolutely central to the teaching of Jesus and that it lies right at the heart of what he has called us as his people to proclaim. Matthew 10, verse 7, when Jesus sends out the 12 apostles, we see him say this. He says, "As you go," Jesus saying to the 12, "preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near." It is something that I believe as a church, not just Gateway, but as a church, you know, globally, nationally, hasn't been particularly good at. Our gospel message has tended to focus on the message of salvation, which of itself is vitally, vitally important and forms an integral part of the gospel, that Jesus died and rose again so that we can know forgiveness of sins. That is so, so important for us. But I think that we've focused on this at the expense of this other fundamental aspect of the good news of God, that when Jesus came, he brought with him the reinauguration of the kingdom of God back in this world. Exciting times, the reinauguration of the kingdom of God. As you go, he said, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. So near, in fact, that it's right in front of you. You can see it, you can touch it almost. It's right in front of your face. So a couple of weeks ago, Bruce comes reminding us of this very fact, that while God was speaking to us through Bruce, he was also speaking to the coordinators of the ladies group that meet in Castleview to start this series on the parables, which is talking about, well, guess what? The kingdom of God. So perhaps God is trying to tell us something. In church group between now and Christmas, we'll be looking at a very, very important complementary subject to the subjects that we'll be looking at on a Sunday. And in church group, we'll be looking on Wednesday night at the supernatural equipping for life in that kingdom. We're going to be looking at what the Bible says about it, how we can get strength in order to live the way that God wants us to live in his kingdom. For God calls us to show the world what the kingdom is like. And thankfully, he doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He has promised us the Holy Spirit to help us to do this job. So church groups are going to be looking at some very important stuff between now and Christmas. Really important. It'd be great if you could really make every effort to try and come to as many of them as you possibly can. If Wednesdays are difficult, then let us know and maybe we can think about maybe doing something if we've got enough demand on another evening. Whatever you do, don't let circumstances strip you of this opportunity for God to speak into our lives. Okay, so where is this kingdom that Jesus is talking about? And what does it look like? You know, the religious leaders of Jesus' day completely missed it. They were religious leaders. They knew the law. They knew what the prophets said. Yet, they missed the inauguration of God's kingdom back into this world. How on earth could they do that? And I think it's because they were expecting the kingdom to take the form of a king on a throne, reigning in power, just like King David. Because after all, the prophets foretold that the Messiah of God would sit on David's throne forever. So you can understand their mistake to a certain extent. They had an idea that when the Messiah was to come, he would bring with him the government of God, and that he would destroy the oppressor and free Israel from their captivity, and he would reign over the world forever. One day, friends, that will happen, when every eye will see him and every knee will bow. And this parable that we've just looked at tonight confirms that. Jesus' second coming hasn't happened yet, but one day it will. But on Jesus' first coming, he reinaugurated a phase of the kingdom known by many as the almost, but not yet of the kingdom. The almost, but not yet of the kingdom. The kingdom is near, it's at hand, it's visible to us all, but his rule and reign has not yet taken place. The kingdom of God at the moment isn't about the rule and reign of God in this world as a king on a throne, but of the rule and reign of God in our hearts. When the West invaded Iraq and Afghanistan, we went in with military muscle, established our bases, engaged in battles, and overcame and suppressed the enemy, and then tried to win hearts and minds. The kingdom of God is about doing exactly the opposite to that. Jesus came to win hearts and minds first, not through physical might and strength, but through his Spirit, speaking into our hearts and speaking into our lives, showing us what life could be like, lived in submission to the will of God the Father. And he gives us this free choice. God doesn't force himself on anybody. He gives us this free choice. Is that the kind of life, kingdom life, that you want? You can choose for yourself. Then if we do, he promises to equip us for this life, lived in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Luke 16, he said this, once having been asked by the Pharisees, again, religious leaders of the day, when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observations, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. And this first parable that we have read today, the wheat and the weeds, helps to explain this, how the kingdom of God is at work in this world today, alongside, right in the middle of the kingdom of the evil one, which is still present and active today in the world. We can see it all around us. And it helps explain the almost but not yet of the kingdom. For those who have chosen the kingdom of God and his reign and rule in our hearts and lives over that of secular society or the postmodernist world, that we will live with this treasure inside us, right alongside us, others in this world who are not in God's kingdom and who haven't chosen to submit to God's government in their lives. So we will live right alongside, right in the middle of secular society. But yet, we've got the kingdom of God living in us. Yeah? The kingdom of God living in us. That's what this parable is all about. And this will continue in this world right up until the point that Jesus returns for the second time. And at that point, he will then usher in the kingdom, his Father's kingdom, in fullness, when he establishes his throne of righteousness forever. When those who are in the kingdom will reign on earth as God intended us to, and as we see a glimpse of in the Garden of Eden before the fall. Yeah? If you read on in Matthew 13, verses 36 to 42, you see Jesus explaining to his disciples what I've just said to you. That the kingdom he inaugurated was a kingdom of love, birthed in the hearts of those who choose him by the Holy Spirit, not a kingdom of thrones and power, but a kingdom of love. A kingdom of love. Not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Where the Spirit of Jesus breathes into us a life and understanding of the kingdom of God. Where we live out our kingdom surrounded by society, which stands in opposition to that kingdom. So see yourselves, friends, as wheat in that field today, standing alongside those who choose the kingdom of this world and not the kingdom of God. Self-belief and pride. I can do it my way. And Jesus refers to those that choose that way as the weeds. That's what the kingdom of God looks like today. Light intermingled in the darkness. The second parable that we read about today was that of the mustard seed. Verse 31 to 32 says this. He told him another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. What does this tell us about the kingdom? That God's intention is that even though it may start small, that it is God's intention that it will not end that way, but it'll end large and significant. The largest of the garden plants. That it is God's desire that wherever his kingdom is at work, and however small it is right now, that it doesn't stay that way, becomes more visible day upon day. Mike Plout, he came with Bruce on the second week that Bruce came, and he said to Mark and I as he was leaving, he believed God had laid on his heart that verse in Zechariah 4, verse 10. And that verse says this, Who dares despise the day of small beginnings, small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. You know, you may feel the gateway is a little insignificant. But let me tell you that that's not God's plan for us to stay that way. God's plan is to prosper us and to give us a significant future of influence and effect in this town. You might feel that as an individual, forget the collective, you might feel as an individual today that we're a little of little value and significance, that we are so small. How can we have an effect on the world around us? Well, I can tell you now, that's not God's will that we think that way or that we are going to be that way. His desire is that we, even though we may be small today, that we grow and develop in his kingdom to become something significant for him. It's a key principle of kingdom life, friends, that kingdom life is dynamic, it's vibrant, and it's effective. It's effective. And this is borne out by the third parable that we're looking at today, which is the parable of the yeast. It says then in Matthew 13:33, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds, another 60 pounds of flour, until it worked all through the dough. You see, when you see a piece of yeast, it really doesn't look like anything special. And its potential is completely disguised. It is vitally important, friends, that we live our kingdom life right in the middle of the dough. God calls us to be his people, living kingdom lives, equipped by the Holy Spirit, right out there in our communities and our families and our work environment and our schools and our colleges, because it is there we can be yeast of the kingdom and we can be effective for him. Yeast in a plastic bag in the cupboard has only potential. It has nothing else. In order for that yeast to become effective, it must get out there into the dough, into real life. Have you ever felt paralyzed, maybe, in your Christian life by the feeling of smallness and insignificance compared to the task that lies before us? Ill-equipped, maybe, and useless. I don't know. Well, listen to this, friends. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. A kingdom life which is concentrated, which is connected to God, has divine power to influence and affect family and friends and communities and workmates and school friends and. This passage in the same passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in the Message version of the Bible, reads like this. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth, fitting every loose thought, an emotion, an impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. 2 days after Mike Plout gave that verse to Mark and I, Bruce came to speak to the leadership and gave us exactly the same verse. Despise not the days of small beginnings. Because a person who chooses to fit every loose thought and emotion into the life shaped by Christ will be like yeast in dough, a mustard seed which becomes the most significant plant in the garden. Don't let the devil fool us, friends, into believing that we are too small, for greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. And how do we do this? Live this powerful, influential kingdom life in the kingdom of this world? Well, John 15:5 says this, Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Fit in every loose thought, an emotion, an impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. It's all about staying connected to God, isn't it? Our power doesn't come from our own strength to to influence, our power comes from being connected. Connected to God, week by week, day by day, moment by moment in our lives. Actively fit in every thought and emotion, actively connect into the Father, so that the Holy Spirit can work in and through us, just like yeast in dough. That's what the kingdom is like. That is what the kingdom is like. I'm the vine, you are the branches, remain in me, and I will remain in you. And if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. God wants our moments so that our minds can be directed by him to bring in the influence of his kingdom. Let's pray. If you look when you go home at Ezekiel 37, the last couple of verses of that chapter, there's a covenant there that God establishes with the people of Israel. And I really felt this afternoon as I was meditating on this, God saying the same thing to us today. If my people are sincere in heart and seek me, then you will find me. You will find me. But more than that, I believe God is saying to us, if you really mean that with all your heart, then he will come and set up his tent in our backyards. He'll come and live amongst us. He'll come and equip us with the Holy Spirit and with power and influence in this world. Father, I just pray, Lord. I just thank you for your commitment to us, Lord, and your love towards us. And I just pray, Lord, that Lord, your Spirit would just come and quicken our hearts right now, Lord. And would just enable us, Lord, to take that leap of faith, so to speak, Lord, that step of faith. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you'd give us a sense of commitment in our hearts, Lord, to just follow you and to seek you and to give you the moments of our day. Those precious moments, Lord, we're all time constrained, Lord, so to speak. I just pray, Father, that somehow in our days, Lord, that you would just break in so that we can be yeast for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pete. Carol's going to lead us in a time just of a few songs just to respond to what God has said. If you've been following today, what we've said is that you have a God who loves you more than you can imagine, more than you realize, a God who gave everything to have a relationship with you.